Memorial Fort McMurray with Buffalo and the rest of the world. You've tuned in to the Mac City Morning Show. I'm your host, Elliot Pierre, and we're going to start today's episode off the same way we start every episode off, with a moment of gratitude. I know you could be doing a million other things with your time, and the fact that you spend it with us truly does mean the world to me, so thank you. On that note, Tanner, hit him with the intro.
Hey, it's Keith Simpson here. I'm the general manager of Norrell Toyota, soon to be Fort McMurray Toyota. Pretty excited for our new dealership. We're here to take care of you. Come on down and be part of our family.
And we are back. Big shout out to our title sponsor, Norrell Toyota. We really do appreciate your ongoing support. As everybody at home knows, I do not introduce my guests because they can do a better job of that than myself. So, sir, can you please tell everybody at home who you are and what you're about?
You bet. And please, not sir. It's just Joe. Average Joe. So, yeah, no, I appreciate coming back. You guys having me again. First conversation was wonderful. Enjoyed it. And I'm happy to be back again. So I appreciate and thank you for the opportunity to come back. Anyone that missed the last episode I was on, my name is Joe McNeil. Long time. We're in our 35th year in Fort McMurray. My wife and four adult children born and raised here, and love Fort McMurray. We've built a beautiful life here, and to continue my giving back or service towards the community that has given and blessed my family so much, I'm running for Ward 1 Council for the October 20th election here in Fort McMurray.
There we go.
Yeah.
And so last time you were here, we spoke a little bit about your work history, but not a lot. I want to talk a little bit about the industry connection that you have.
Yeah, no, fair enough. And we're recording this episode the day following the candidate forum that the Chamber of Commerce put on last night. And I thought it was, you know, kudos to the Chamber of Commerce, Landmark Theater, and everyone who behind the scenes who made that event possible. It was really well run. Yeah. And the questions were very much business focused as a result of the roundtables and other input that the Chamber has received from business owners in the community. So I did enjoy the minute and a half to respond. You had to get to the point immediately, and then 2 30-second rebuttals. So I think the flow was very well, and there was a lot of candidates there. I'm not sure how many total, but I was in the middle, and there was lots of people to the left and right of me, which I think is great. I think having a choice, I can't remember more people running for Ward 1 for 6 seats during the time that I've been here. So I think that Fort McMurray is lucky to have the selection. And I think last night, I was participating as a candidate, obviously, but I'm also, I'm a voter as well. So I was listening and taking an opportunity to, I guess, garner more information and my opinion of other candidates who I may vote for. So from that perspective, as a voter, I got a lot of information and perspective of both the different candidates' backgrounds, their expertise, and what each person brings to the table, which is unique to each candidate, right? So being from a business background here in Fort McMurray, I've started a couple of different businesses. My wife has a home-based business. So the processing, the permits, the things that some of the feedback from business owners, I've lived it. I would never speak negatively about anybody or any organization. I would recognize that there's some opportunity to streamline process. And from a business owner's perspective, it's that predictability or consistency that's important. So if I pull a permit, if I have a business license, for example, and I go to renew my license, the requirements for me to operate my business shouldn't look different than when I got my permit or my business license last year. So it sounds simple, but for a business owner, it ties into if the requirements change, there's obviously an impact and process that the person has to do. 9 times out of 10, there's a cost associated if there's additional requirements. So when we're talking about business, and it was said last night, and I'm a believer, business or government should not stand in the way of business, and the government should make it for entrepreneurs or business starting or operating in Fort McMurray. We should be making that a streamlined process, make it easy and welcoming to anyone that starts a business here in Fort McMurray. I've said it before, business is the heart and soul of any community, and social profit, nonprofit, and volunteers are the lifeblood. So that's my belief in community. Mm-hmm. And, you know, government has to be careful when they're stepping into the business world. You know, you talk incentives or how do we get the, you have to be careful that the playing field is level for everyone. We don't want to give preferential treatment to or incentive to some and not others. So we have to be very careful of that, I think. And we live in a free enterprise system. That's the reality. And it's driven by value and economics. That's how we become efficient as businesses, and it's how at the end of the day we employ local people. So many of local businesses and industry give back to the community, not only in funds or money, but also, you know, employees giving back their time and talent to support that lifeblood of our community. So I'm a true believer in the business side of things being taken care of and being respected, and their issues and sensitivities being addressed in a timely manner.
There you go.
Yeah.
Now, in regards to an event like last night,
yeah,
did you get those questions ahead of time, or were they just like made up on the spot and you guys just had to respond to them?
No, they were made up on the spot, and we had no visibility or heads up on what the questions were going to be or who was going to be asked the questions. So that was ran. So we didn't know we were being asked a particular question until it was read, and then the moderator, who I think did an excellent job last night.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah. As a shout out to the Ms. Giles last night, she did a great job. But yeah, we didn't know what the question was or if it was going to come to us or not. And we had two rebuttals, which we had, it was like kind of, do I want to, and it, they call it a rebuttal, but it was really to chime in on a question that you weren't asked directly. So mm-hmm. you had to conserve your two for where you wanted to jump in. And I wanted to jump in on a couple that I thought I had great answers to, but
yeah.
I didn't have an opportunity. But I think it in that, in the questions and answers, we got to observe, I guess, we as candidates under a bit of pressure. I'd never seen the movie theater from that perspective. So we're lined up, until you folks see the video, we're lined up like where you would be, the movie screen is, and we were looking up at the crowd, and yeah, these questions were coming at us. So I think with people observing the event, you got to see how candidates performed under a bit of pressure, how they conducted themselves, and the level of knowledge that they bring to the table when it comes to business, which I think mm-hmm. is critical for any candidate to have some information about.
And that's what I was going to ask in regards to the questions were like serious questions. Like there was no like there was no easy questions. They weren't lobbing anything to you.
No. No.
How do you prepare for something like that? Because it was such a wide variety of questions, from capturing, like, how are you going to lower energy? I was like, what the heck? And, like, some of the people are just normal human beings.
Yes.
Who are just, like, not ready for that. And that's great that they got that day one.
Yeah.
How do you prepare for something like that?
Yeah, and I think preparing for it, it comes from, I just experience and knowledge and being able to articulate efficiently, because 90 seconds goes by pretty quick when you're trying to, for a wannabe or an existing politician, that's not much time.
No.
So I think it really showed the level of knowledge and background expertise that each candidate brought to the table. And you know what? I applaud some candidate when the question was answered. It was a lot to digest, and you don't have the answer.
Yeah.
Right? So I appreciate those that said that admitted that. I mean, that takes, I think it takes courage to sit up in that forum. So I have respect for everyone who is a candidate participating.
Mm-hmm.
But to acknowledge that you don't have the answer offhand, I think that takes a lot of courage as well. So
100%.
There's a lot of good people running for council, and you know, I go back to what I've said. It's I'm a humble guy, but I think I bring forward a resume and the experience and tools in my toolbox to effectively navigate and represent the good folks of Fort McMurray.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I think it was a kickoff. Like a lot of the people who didn't have answers, like you said,
it's
like, oh, I don't know. But I would hope, and I have with some of them, I know they would go back. And
absolutely.
It's time to study up on some of these things.
Absolutely. You know? And I think that was the other benefit of the event, too, that none of us up on that panel knew every answer, but it gave us good insight to maybe identify some potential gaps personally mm-hmm. that we need to shore up within ourselves to be effective, right?
So, how are you enjoying all this? I've been bumping into you at a few things. How are you enjoying the actual getting out and talking to individuals?
I think an effective counselor needs to listen, think, and act. And I've been doing a lot of listening. There's some who have platforms, they'll say, this is what I'm going to do. And, you know, at the end of the day, a single counselor, your influence is very limited. But if you bring to the table an effective skill set that enables for intelligent discussion and eventually action, mm-hmm. I think that's where the real power lies. So rather than making political rhetoric or statements, I'm focused on listening right now. And mm-hmm. then as a long-term resident, a lot of my concerns and sensitivities in Fort McMurray, some opportunities I see are not much different than a lot of other folks. So, mm-hmm. But you know, the minor, or what we would see as minor complaint issues, I think are overshadowed by the opportunity that Fort McMurray has moving forward. And I think we need a skilled, effective council to back up our mayor in moving forward in these collaborative discussions, because even council by itself is not going to maximize the fruition of a lot of these opportunities. We have to have industry at the table. And industry, in my opinion, you know, it came up a little bit last night. Industry is not, for me, a faceless organization. It's many of the people that, you know, our kids grew up in town here together. That's who I've been working alongside for 20 plus years. So these are real people. I think industry does a lot for our community. Can they do more? Maybe. But it has to be a discussion, and it has to be value add for business. So simply not being happy with what's being done and complaining about it, that's easy. But get sitting at the table and being able to articulate intelligently the and represent the good people of Fort McMurray is critical going forward, because, you know, I'd rather frame them as opportunities rather than challenges. And some of the things I know are being worked at, and that's where engaging and having 20 plus years experience in industry, which is, I think, a unique perspective I bring to the table for council. I've worked both directly for one of the producers and as a contractor for 25 years. So I bring that perspective, as well as perspective working with the nonprofit with healthcare and education, engaging with provincial government. So I think I bring that perspective and that knowledge and successful track record of being involved in these complex opportunities, that's something unique that I bring to the table.
Yeah, I really do think so. In regards to like what you said earlier and what you just linked it into, you've helped with your wife's home small business.
Yes.
But you've also worked with industry, oil and gas, which, like, you know, we're all here for oil and gas, and it's good to know, like, hey, I have experience talking, walking, working in that environment, and that's a great perspective to bring to council.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, getting back to industry, I mean, industry is, you know, they do so much for our community, and it's not just the employment. How many families, you know, derive their livelihood from the local oil sands, oil and gas industry, but it's also the community investment, the volunteer investment of their workers, right? So I think there's more opportunities. And, you know, go back to the fly in, fly out, or FIFO. I know that's a politically charged subject, but, you know, I'm a believer that the FIFO, back when some decisions were made, it was the best decision at the time. I mean, Fort McMurray, we were plugged solid. We couldn't fit any more people into this town if we wanted to, right? So now the infrastructure looks much different. You know, we've lived through all the road construction, bridge construction. We're at a place where, you know, housing affordability right now. I mean, to be a young person or anyone coming to Fort McMurray, I think it's most economical time to purchase a home that I can remember, other than going back to the early 90s or 80s. So I think that opportunity, and now it's an opportunity to pivot and recognize, yeah, the decisions we made in the past were best decision at the time, but things have changed. So I know those discussions are going on between our mayor, provincial government, our minister, with industry, and sitting at the table and understanding what makes sense. And at the end of the day, I'm a believer that the more people we can have living in Fort McMurray, coming home to their families in the evening, it's a better quality of life and it's better for the community. So, but I don't, it's a spectrum, right? I don't think there, you don't want to land on one or the other. There has to be a middle ground, because there are times during turnaround when you're ramping up thousands of people, then it can't make sense. But having the ability to engage in those conversations is critical for Fort McMurray to maximize the opportunities going forward and to make our community even better and more sustainable. Man, it's nice having more than 90 seconds. But, you know, that comes, local air service, that's another, you know, as I'm out there listening, and, you know, I fly out of Fort McMurray too, and, you know, it's not the airline's fault. The airline is based on traffic. So if the traffic's not there, they're going to make business decisions on the number of flights and where the flights are going. But, you know, another opportunity with industry is, you know, we could have a robust regional network if Fort McMurray was one of the hubs where workers were flown into. It would give them an opportunity, if they live here, to live in town, and if they were coming in for a short-term turnaround or something, at least get them coming through the community. So I think, you know, there's so much tied into these industry discussions and collaborations, everything from the quality of our air service to, you know, the and I know provincially, and our mayor has worked diligently to beautification of Highway 63 coming through town. One of my pet peeves, we should have the most beautiful track of highway coming, not only getting here, but coming through our town. We should have a magnificent entrance to, you know, we're the oil sands capital of the world. Like, people should be impressed when they come here. We're trying to attract people to come live here, and I think that you know, some of those basics that are being worked on are a long time coming, but I'm confident that we're going to see that. Right. So
my favorite view is when you come down Beacon Hill, when you come in and you're Fort McMurray, and you're just like,
oh yeah,
whoa.
Yeah,
but anyways, Tanner just tapped his phone. That means he's ready with his segment called The Max City Minute, brought to you by Carrie and Patchouli Rose. Tanner, hit him with the Max City Minute.
Did you just forget what this was called?
I totally did. You know,
thought I'd point that out for the viewers.
Yeah. Remind folks through these questions, I have no idea, and there's no rehearsal or anything.
No, there's no rehearsal. That's for any of this.
Yeah. Oh, he lets us know all the time there's no rehearsal.
Yeah.
Question number one for you today. If you could choose one person other than yourself to make it on council, who would you choose?
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's a great question. I firmly believe that politics is a personal personal matter. I guess the qualities I'd want to see, I'd be more apt to, and not everyone's announced yet either, so I don't want to say a name that's maybe not public yet, but, you know, for me, person doing it for the right reason, and to anything outside of to be of service to a community that's been so good to the person that they want to give back. And I think that's most important. The perspective they bring to the table, you know, a robust, effective council brings different perspectives, but at the end of the day, it has to be respectful. It has to be professional, show up like you're coming to work for the people you're representing, and never lose sight of that. It's not a position of power, it's a position of service. So those are the critical things that I would see, and having some diverse backgrounds and perspectives on council. I know that didn't answer your question specifically, but in a candidate, that would be my key.
No wrong answers.
All right.
Question number two, if you could have one attribute of any animal, what would you pick?
Ooh, honey badger.
What aspect?
Oh, honey badger, that is, you got to watch some videos of this. It's not the biggest animal.
It's the angriest.
It is the most courageous. It never gives up. Like, if you watch videos of this, like, it'll take on
a bear, a pack
of hyenas, lions. It doesn't give up. Its skin is so thick that most animals' teeth can't penetrate it. It's immune to toxins and venom. And it fears nothing. So the biggest attribute, it has defense mechanisms, but it doesn't have fear. And I like to think that I operate like that, and it's not blind, you know, no fear, but it's calculated, intellectual, challenging fear. Because fear isn't going to happen, but it's the courage that this animal has. You got to watch this thing. It's amazing. And it's not that big, but nothing will tangle with it.
Although you should be scared of bears.
Yeah, you should be, but this thing is. It's unbelievable.
Wow.
Question number three. What is one dish you eat that reminds you of your childhood?
Oh, man. We used to go swimming as a child. I grew up on the East Coast, swimming in the Bridora Lakes, the largest inland saltwater lake in the world. And I don't eat them very often now because it has a different effect on me than when I was a kid. But we would we'd go swimming for the day, and we would come home, and it was, basic peanut butter and jam sandwich on white bread with a glass of milk. That takes me back to that day at the beach coming home, and it's, yeah.
Classic. Question number four. What flavor of ice cream would you say best describes your personality?
Butter pecan. These aren't rehearsed, folks.
They're not.
butter pecan. It has the buttery rich flavor of the butter, but then it has the pecan, which is, you know, you could say a little bit of edge or a little bit of nuttiness. But I think that's important to life as well. So that's how I would describe myself.
I'm impressed with how quickly you answered that.
Dude.
And your final question, what is one thing you think Fort McMurray's council has done well in the past?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I think there's been a lot of good done, and I'm not going to sit back and say a list of things I think we could have done better. I think they've done the best job they did, and I think most, if not all, council felt that they were doing the best job that they could. Now, I think the opportunity lies in being collaborative and having respectful discussion without getting into personal discussions or attacks of that nature. So I think for the most part, a lot of that has happened, but it's been overshadowed on some of the more negative instances, right? So I think the diversity, the perspectives that each counselor brought to the table, they articulate it and they voice. So I think that what each counselor felt, who they were representing, I think they felt that they were bringing that to the table. So I think that was well done.
And those have been your five questions.
Awesome. Well, right. Unfortunately, Tanner has tapped his watch, so that means we are out of time.
Oh, no.
But before I cut you loose, everybody gets a shameless shout-out or plug, so you have the mic, the camera, the lights. Have fun.
Yeah, no, thanks. And, I want to give a quick shout-out to industry. And, diversification came up last night. I don't think that diversification means the same to me as it means to some other folks. We're not going to get out of oil and gas. That's the backbone of our industry. But the demand for crude oil is increasing consistently, and there's over 6,000 products that are made from oil. So I commented last night that diversification, in my opinion, means adding levels of the value chain right here in Fort McMurray. So, we're at a technology point where we can spin carbon fiber out of bitumen. We can produce asphalt additives from bitumen. We produce sulfur here. Products, byproducts like sulfur. There's chemicals in our tailings pond that are in demand in other places of the world. So, titanium is in the tailings pond. So there's the technology is catching up with us to diversify and hopefully, look at whether it's a data center coming here or manufacturing, that we have an opportunity to have more people living here and diversifying what our base product is in what we're building and manufacturing here in Fort McMurray.
There we go.
Yeah.
Well, Fort McMurray, Wood Buffalo, the rest of the world, that's been another episode of the Mac City Morning Show. From the bottom of my heart, thank you very much for tuning in. Big shout out to our title sponsor, Neural Toyota, as well as Carrie from Patchouli Rose and the beautiful people at Coldwell Banker. Hope everybody's having a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Peace.
Hi everyone, it's Carrie with Patchouli Rose here at Thickwood Barbershop. If you're wondering what to get your loved one this season for Valentine's Day, I make an all-natural anti-aging skin serum called Good Skin. It's good for men and women, and it's available for purchase here at the barbershop, downtown at the corridor shops and events, and on my website. Thank you for your support.
Talk about quenching your ugly thirst.